folks. Welcome to the edition of Stranger in a Southern Land. I, of course, am your host, Jake Mann. Today in the program, I speak with Aaron Cox from the Hickory Crawdads, which is the single-A affiliate for the Texas Rangers. And I have to say, folks, I didn't know a lot about single-A ball. I was aware of the existence of minor league baseball, but, you know, I know that there's single-A, double-A, and triple-A, but I didn't know what that meant. I had no clue. And you think I should know because I grew up not far from a single-A club, the Clinton Giants, which are now the Clinton Lumber Kings. You'd think I'd know more about it, but I didn't. I didn't know who these individuals were that were drafted by the Texas Rangers and then find themselves in Hickory, North Carolina. But Aaron broke it down for me, the whole dynamics of it and how the game has changed and how they interact with the Texas Rangers and how that whole process comes along of maturing a baseball player and getting him ready for the big leagues. And this is a fascinating interview, and if you're a lover of baseball, you're going to love this interview. And if you've just always been curious about these people that are going to make their way and follow their dream in baseball and be a major leaguer someday, you can listen to it too. But I can't thank Aaron enough for sitting down and talking to me, but I also can't thank him enough for becoming a fan of this podcast. I guess he, doing his research for this interview, he wanted to know who he was sitting across from during this interview, and along the way he became a fan of this podcast. So I can't thank him enough, and I want to welcome to the cool kids table. Thank you for jumping on a board, Aaron. There's plenty of room for you. You can sit down over here. Don't worry, that guy over there won't bite, but that guy over there might. But we're all part of the cool kids table. That's the important thing. We're all getting along. We're the ones that know something's up. We know what's cool before everybody else does. Know who else knows that? Is the people at Shining Wizards Podcast Network. They're doing a lot of great things. They've got a lot of great interviews, and I always talk about the Neckbreaker Podcast. They've got Jerry Lynn talking about heavy metal. Jerry Lynn is a heavy, big metalhead. So for him to talk about heavy metal on the Neckbreaker Podcast, which is a part of the Shining Wizards Podcast Network, I think it's kind of a coup and a great idea. I'm definitely going to check that one out in the future. But they've got a lot of other great podcasts, especially, you know, the Shining Wizards Podcast as well. But you can find out more about them and all the podcasts that are under that umbrella, including myself, at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Anyways, March has been very difficult for me. I've been telling you this, guys, for a while. March has been in flux. Things have been changing. But as we run into the tail end of this, I think we figured it all out. All the bumps have been cleared. There's no more roadblocks anymore. Everything gets straightened out. So all these dates that I'm going to give you are pretty much confirmed for sure. They're happening. Good to go. No changes as is. I'm going to give you that information right now. And if you listen to this podcast in a timely fashion, you will have just enough time to head over to the Comedy Zone this Wednesday, March 16th, for Funny on the Fly. I've been talking about Funny on the Fly for quite some time and how happy I am to be part of season 2. The debut was a wonderful and fantastic show. I expect all the shows of this entire season to be much of the same. So make sure you come out to the Charlotte Comedy Zone this Wednesday, March 16th. And for more information about that show, make sure you log on to cltcomedyzone.com. This weekend, this Friday, this Saturday, Queens of Combat comes back to the North Carolina area. And that's right, this Friday, Saturday, March 18th and 19th in Gibsonville and Charlotte, respectively. And for more information about that show, or those shows, I should say, you know, run by Sojo Bolt, former Stranger in a Southern Land guest, you can log on to combatqueens.com. Tickets are available, and of course, past shows as well. If you want to catch up before you buy your ticket for Queens of Combat this weekend, you can buy all the shows, catch up, watch them. You know all who the bad guys are, who the bad girls are, who the good girls are, and just figure it all out then. And then you know who to boo for, who to cheer for this Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th, in Gibsonville and Charlotte for Queens of Combat. Then Friday and Saturday, March 25th and March 26th, Big Time Wrestling returns to the Mid-Atlantic area in Morganton and Knoxville, respectively. I've been using respectively a lot in these dates. I don't want you to get confused, but if you're confused on where everybody's going to be at and who's going to be on the shows for Big Time Wrestling, all you got to do is just log on to btwpro.com. Then April 1st and 2nd, I will be in Dallas for WrestleCon. I will probably have more information about WrestleCon in the upcoming weeks and stuff like that, as I'll be feeding that to you. But WrestleCon, it's the Comic-Con of wrestling. If you are a wrestling fan, and also too, it's WrestleMania weekend. If you're going to be there for WrestleMania already, just stop on over to WrestleCon. We got all kinds of people over there. We got wrestling shows, we got autograph signings, Q&As, just a whole gauntlets, a plethora, if you will, of stuff going on. So make sure you check out WrestleCon. I believe it is WrestleCon.com for more information. Anyways, for any upcoming dates, or if you just want to know my adventures coming up in the upcoming weeks and months, I'm doing a lot of traveling and all over the place, doing a lot of cool things. If you just want to check in and see what's going on with me, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is just follow me on social media, and I am available on Twitter at ManScoutManning and on Instagram at ManScoutManning. If you have a question about the podcast, or if you're going to become a sponsor of this podcast, I always love those. All you have to do is just email me at Jake@SSLshow.com. Or if you're going to book me for an upcoming wrestling event, make sure you email me at manscoutmanning@yahoo.com. Anyways, without further ado, let's get into this wonderful conversation with Aaron Cox from the Hickory Crawdads here on Stranger in Southern Land. Gentlemen, I'm sitting here with Aaron Cox for the Hickory Crawdads, a single A team based out of Hickory, North Carolina. Thank you very much for sitting down and talking with me today, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we were back and forth there for a little bit, so I'm glad we actually got time to actually make this happen and stuff like that. So, like I said, power's out of my house. I'm actually nice. I'm very thankful to be someplace where there actually is power right now. So
it's been nasty the last few days with these storms. Yeah, so we're lucky that that we still have it here.
Yeah. You say you just got the suites powered up.
Mm-hmm.
How close are you away from opening day here?
We're real close now. Opening day is on April 7th. We start on the road, so we actually won't have our first home game until April 14th, but just, you know, a handful of weeks now and it'll be here, so it's breathing down our neck.
What's your official title here?
I'm the Director of Media Relations and Broadcasting, so anything that's on the website or social media or goes out to the press or the game broadcast, that's all generally flows this way.
Okay, so what's the big concern right now? What are you focused on right now, as today and upcoming to opening day?
Right now, we're trying to make sure that we have all of our media sponsors lined up for, like, our promotion days, you know, so for our fireworks shows or our celebrity appearances or our giveaways, we always have media sponsors that tie into those, obviously, help us promote them and things like that. So now we're trying to make sure that we've got all those piecemealed out and that our sponsors are happy with how that works. And you know, we're still trying to, you know, get a few things sold here and there, you know, the outfield billboards and things like that from the corporate side. And then before too long, you know, I'll have to make sure that our media guide and things like that are updated for the season too. So it all gets moving real quick here once February hits.
And how long have you been doing that position here in Hickory?
This will be my fourth season. I got hired right before the 2013 season started, like just barely over a week, which is cutting it real tight.
Yeah.
So this will be season number four. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you're the guy that probably has that strenuous job of making sure that every tweet, every news release, yeah, has the proper punctuations and yours and stuff like that. As somebody that struggles with that all the time, especially when I'm writing jokes on Twitter for my stand-up comedy, yeah, it's a stressful 5 minutes for 140 characters.
It is. And coming from a professional account, obviously, you know, each social media account has its own feel to it. You know, so if I'm putting something out as a newsletter or a press release on our website, that's very professional tone. But then, you know, you get to Twitter, we have Snapchat or Instagram, you can be, you know, a little more loose with the fans, but you still got to watch how everything is phrased and things like that. So yeah, you're always constantly thinking about how things are going to be perceived. And luckily, you know, I've got plenty of my coworkers and things like that who I run things by and help me put things out there. So it's not completely alone.
Okay. So if you're like, hey, can you check this out?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Things? Yeah. I have to pull people in sometimes with me because I'm constantly doing long write-ups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, does that come natural to you, like as far as like writing and stuff like that?
Yeah, in fact, writing, I did a lot of writing before I got into broadcasting, either TV or radio. And writing was always easier for me, you know, in school and things like that. Yeah, English, as difficult of a language as it is, made
for
sense.
For some. Yeah. But then there's some that's completely easy.
It made sense for whatever reason. Yeah, so writing has always been easier for me. So I enjoy writing. You know, I enjoy doing write-ups. We have our game day program that we do four different issues of throughout the year, and we always try to do player feature stories and things like that. And I like getting to do that. That's something I don't get to do a ton of anymore. So I always look forward to those where I can sit down and have an in-depth feature story with players and or coaches or whatever it might be. I still enjoy doing that.
Let's talk about the type of players that are involved in single-A ball. This interests me greatly. I grew up probably a half an hour away from the single-A club in Clinton, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
The Lumber Kings.
Yes.
Who I just saw in a Gillette commercial or something like that recently or whatever.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what? And I remember watching them back when they were the Clinton Giants, part of the San Francisco Giants mm-hmm. team. And I guess I never put two and two together that, until recently, like what type of players these are that are going through single A ball. Mm-hmm. And it probably wasn't until I read a book about the Clinton Lumber Kings I think it was called Single A or Class A Ball or something like that. I read parts of this book mostly because Clinton was the town I was born in. Mm-hmm. So I'm very interesting to see how somebody would write about that. But the type of players that are in single A ball, like, can you kind of give me an idea? Is it somebody that just got drafted? Is it journeyman? Can you kind of give me an idea of some of who these players are?
Yeah, absolutely. Minor league baseball is very unusual if you're not used to it. And myself, I actually, where I grew up, we didn't have one close. So I never attended a minor league game until I got hired on my first job out in Idaho Falls with a minor league team there in Idaho. Mm-hmm. So it's very weird if you're not used to it. So at this level, A-ball, we generally, we are the lowest of the three major rungs. So there's A-ball, there's AA-ball, and then there's AAA. And then obviously you hit the major leagues. That's an easy way of looking at it. Now below us, there are rookie level leagues. They call them short season leagues where they don't start until mid-June. So there are a few, but really the three main are A, AA, AAA. Okay. So at our level, what we get, guys have typically been in a system for a year or so. You'll get drafted or, a foreign players out of the Dominican or Colombia or even now Cuba starting to come over. Mm-hmm. You'll typically go to a short season or a rookie level league for a year before coming here. But having said that, our players are still very young, especially our major league affiliate. And that's how the minor leagues work is we have a major league affiliate. It all funnels up to, obviously, we are affiliate of the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. They are very aggressive, which how they move their players up.
How so? Like, are they?
They just tend to they push them. It's kind of a sink or swim mentality to put it, I guess, in simple terms. So we are typically one of, if not the youngest team in our league as far as average age is concerned, mm-hmm. and that's just how they like to run their minor league team. And if you look at the minor league system rankings, you can't complain with how they're doing it. They're constantly ranked in the top 10 or so as far as minor league systems. So our players will range anywhere from on the very young end 17. All the way up to roughly about 22 or 23 on the high end. Mm-hmm. So you're getting, they're still kids. I just turned 30 and they're looking more and more like kids even to me.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is baseball. They're learning how to perfect their craft and what a full season is like. For a lot of guys, this is their first time going through a full major league season. We play 140 games in about 153 days. So it's almost every day you're playing baseball. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to take care of your body, how to sleep, how to eat, all those things. But then there's other things that you don't think they have to learn about, how to open up a bank account and take care of your own finances and live on your own and do your own laundry. Because for a fair amount of these guys, they did not go to college. They were drafted out of high school. Or like I said, for foreign-born players, you're signed at 16.
And now they have to deal with living in America,
country. They take English classes and things like that.
I mean, somebody moving from Cuba to Hickory, North Carolina, I'm sure that's a rough transition.
Yes, very much so. And so that's part of the deal is for the coaches and the staff, and to a lesser extent, us as a front office for the team here, you're helping these guys assimilate either to coming to America or to being quasi adults. And that makes A-ball a very interesting intersection, in my opinion, because by the time you get to AA or AAA, you've got that part figured out. Mm-hmm. So here it's a fun mashup of guys figuring out themselves, figuring out how to be independent people, and then also at the same time trying to perfect what they hope is is their career.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it's like you help some of these players. Like, what are some examples of how you help these players adjust to adulthood in some cases, and in some cases, different country?
Yeah, well, we for the front office, from our point of view, we help them find housing first and foremost. We have deals with apartment complexes and things like that. So that way, when these guys show up, we can point them in the right direction, because they actually will not get here until less than a week before our season starts. They'll be out in Arizona doing spring training with the big league club up until that point. So they get here and it's go time.
Okay, so what? Regardless of whatever happens here, they're with the big club. Correct. Everybody's there. Everybody underneath our umbrella of the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. We are here at you know, they're spring training. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that. Okay, now we're going to break. You guys in single A, you guys in double A.
Correct.
Okay.
So they'll show up here, and then it's go. We got to get moving in a hurry. So we help them find housing. We have an official kind of a bank where we say this is. You know, they don't by any means have to do any of this, but it helps it if they want to. You know, this is where you can deposit your checks if this is the way you want to go. Things like that. You know, if certain guys need rental cars, some of them, you know, we point them in that right direction. So it's really just helpful hints. None of it is required by any means, but we try to at least make the process a little bit easier for
them. I'm sure by now it's probably in a packet or three.
Essentially, yes.
Like
we have a big meeting.
You have a manila envelope. Uh-huh. You hand everybody, here's everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. Here's a list of restaurants. Here's a place with laundromats, such and such.
And we'll bring in a representative from, you know, the local police department just to say, you know, hey guys, welcome to the community, you know, and because like you said, some of the players are not American born, just a fresher up on how things work here in the States.
Yeah.
A representative of our ownership group comes in and, you know, talks about how happy we are to be here, they have them here, things like that. Because you really are, these players are part of the community for 5+ months, and the community really does latch on to them, especially in a market like Hickory, where even for A-ball, we are a small market. And so the community really buys into these players. They're going to see them at the grocery stores or at the gas station and things like that. And so it's important for them to understand that and understand really they're many celebrities. And you know, on the one hand, you think A-ball, you're right starting your career. But for Hickory, this is pro baseball. You know, you guys are the celebrities here in town. And so it for them, that's new also.
Yeah, they're major league players here.
Correct.
Basically. You know, like I said, and the fact that they were just at spring training with the bigs, you know, now they're here.
And we're very lucky, too. Like I said, we're with the Texas Rangers. We have gotten some very good players come through here. And so we can legitimately tell our fans, you know, you're looking at future big league players and very good big league players. Just our team from a couple of years ago, my first year here in 2013, we broke the league's home run record. I mean, just shattered it. And a lot of those guys now are right on the doorstep of making the major leagues. You know, they're in the top 10 prospects in all of baseball. Some of them are already there. And over the course of our history, you know, we've had Andrew McCutchen, who's one of our most famous guys when we used to be a Pittsburgh Pirates affiliate. Now he's an MVP. Guys like Maglio Ordonez or Neil Walker and things like that. So when you can point to those guys and point to guys who are now on the doorstep, that makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about an aggressive system, so they're going to see those rewards
quickly.
Quickly.
Yes.
Or you're going to see people disappear very quickly.
Yes. That's the bad part is guys do get promoted quickly on occasion. So and you know, our fans are used to it by now.
How do you manage? Like how would a manager deal with that? Like to me, like I don't know who's going to be playing first base today.
You're very right. And most of the time, though, the Rangers also like to, how they phrase it, essentially breed winning in the minors. You know, so if guys are used to winning, then they're going to expect to win as they move up. So last year, for instance, we won the South Atlantic League Championship, our first time since 2004. And how minor league baseball works, you think in the majors, you know, over the course of all those games, at the end of the year, that's your divisional winners. But in the minors, you actually split the season into two halves. So there's a first half winner and a second half winner. So if you win either one of those halves, that's how you get into the postseason. And they do that because teams change over so much and it allows fans to kind of stay engaged. Mm-hmm. So we were winning the first half last year. And we had several guys who were ready to move up. They were really dominating at this league and were ready to move up a level. But the Rangers let us really kind of hang on to them probably for an extra few weeks or so to help us clinch in that first half. Because they have that's a secondary interest for them. You know, their primary is making sure these guys can
obviously
get to the majors. But
they're not like, hey, we won the
right
single day.
They really don't care.
And we missed out on, the playoffs this season.
But if they can kill two birds with one stone,
exactly,
they can. And so we had, especially from a pitcher point of view, they let a few guys stay here, let us kind of clinch. And so they're very good about that. So we can't complain too much.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems like there's a lot of contact from their front office to your front office. Is it like a constant, like every day with Rangers? Like, how does that communication process go?
That essentially happens with our on-field staff. So our manager and the trainers and things like that, they daily are talking with the Rangers. They send in reports every night, breaking down how players did on this and that. The Rangers, actually, we have a video system here at the ballpark now that just got instituted in the last year or two. And so we will have Rangers brass that watch at least part of every game now. They can tune in and watch.
So they could stream and watch and stuff like that. And that's probably a really interesting development the last couple of years as far as like the change in technology.
Oh, absolutely. Our guys now, this blew me away because this just started a couple of years ago. They can get, you think this is a very major league thing, but they can get each one of their at-bats or each one from either a batter or a pitcher point of view broken down and put on their iPad or their laptop or whatever they have, their phones, so they can study their own film now. And it's that all this stuff has been happening in the last few of years where that has trickled down to the minor league level. And so the Rangers will view that film, our guys will view that film, and there's always constant talk back and forth between the big league club and here.
So gone are the days of the crusty old scouts, like, hey, there's a kid in Hickory, North Carolina, he's got a rocket of an arm, but he's got no control. Are those days.
We still have those scouts, but it's definitely a hybrid system now, absolutely, because they can see it firsthand on their computers every night.
Yeah, so they can just have somebody sitting in the office streaming and stuff like that.
Absolutely, and it does happen.
I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely. What are some other technological advantages, just even as far as that process goes?
Yeah, from our point of view, that helps us out, from the broadcasting of our games, we have a deal through Minor League Baseball where all of that stuff, in addition to a local radio station, whatever, is streamed on the web, obviously worldwide. And so that's through Minor League Baseball as well. So we get not only people with the Rangers, but a lot of Rangers fans will listen in to our broadcast. The Rangers have a very engaged fan base that cares about their minor league system. And so we'll get people who really don't know where Hickory is. They're not necessarily Hickory Crawdads fans, but they are Rangers minor league fans. And so they will listen in to us through that, and that's been very nice. We'll get listeners from all over the place, in Australia or Europe or things like that, because it's Rangers fans who have moved overseas and are still following with the system. So that's still a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Just this year, we're implementing something called Game Day, where if you have ever watched a major league game on your computer, you'll see, like a computer simulation of a batter, and then the strike zone is there, and it puts pitch by pitch and everything that happens. That is now in the minor league system. So we unfortunately do not have a TV broadcast at this level, but people can, let's say, listen into the radio broadcast and follow that pitch by pitch, and you really get a pretty good facsimile for watching the game.
Mm-hmm. And as far as back to like the whole like communication between the front office and the manager, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, like, is it like, oh, we got a couple of people we're keeping an eye on, or is it like scouting reports on like everybody? Like, is it?
It's everybody. Everybody has. They're watching everybody. If they didn't care about you, you wouldn't be here, because there's always a minor league player to replace you. Mm-hmm. And so they do keep track on everybody. Now, having said that, we know how the world works. If you are a first-round draft pick that they're going to throw some major money
obviously,
at.
Obviously, that's the first guy you
correct. Discuss. They're watching that guy a little bit more. But that's not to say that, a guy who was, came from, let's say, a late round or, a fairly unknown name, at the end of the day, numbers speak. And if you keep producing, like I said, the Rangers are very aggressive. So let's say, you're here dominating. You know what? Let's throw him up to Double-A. Let's see how he does. And if you keep producing, at the end of the day, that's what's going to get you to the major league. So even if you are, an unheralded prospect, there's countless stories of those guys making it up. So the Rangers pay attention to everybody. They are watching everybody, and you never know when either it's a big name guy or an unheralded guy. As long as you're producing here, you're a day away from moving up.
Okay. Quick question, and I probably should have started with this, but also too, I'm very interested by, because when I saw the name Hickory Crawdads, mm-hmm. we're not close to a body of water, are we? Like how did the name Crawdads become the mascot of this team?
That was when the team was moving here in 93. They got transferred from Gastonia, and that's essentially how minor leagues works, is you're going to be moving from one city to another.
Well, how so?
Very rarely do you just have a straight-up expansion team. That's not quite how it works. You're going to move a franchise from somewhere. Oh, okay. It's typically how it works.
I thought you were saying that they're frequently always moving.
Oh, no. And so this team came from Gastonia back in 1993, and they essentially held a fan contest to see what was going to be the new name. And then there was a search committee that was very instrumental in bringing the team, and they obviously had some influence on the name, and that includes still our current ownership group, Don and Luther Beaver, along with Charles Young. But essentially, Crawdads is the one that won out. And we're in this area, we're talking about, you know, you can find crawdads or crawfish or however you want to call them in creeks and lakes. And I'm from Missouri, and you could find them even out there. And so that's, you know, if you know what it is, looks like a little lobster, essentially. And they are delicious, if that is your cup of tea.
Well, that works to get to. Very little meat.
Yeah. That's essentially how it came up. In the minor leagues, you're looking for almost something kind of unique, a catchy name. You know, in the majors, you want to have something that's got a little gravitas to it. You know, you're looking for, you know, the Braves or the Giants, you know, the Yankees. Those have some weight to them. But in the minor leagues, you have team names like the Montgomery Biscuits. That's kind of, you're looking at something that's got a catch. We have a new team in our league just this year. They moved from Savannah to Columbia, South Carolina, and they are the Fireflies. So anything that you can kind of have a catch to it, a niche, you want to, because there are people who, you know, will buy your gear or follow your team just because you're something unique. You know, and the crawdads certainly are unique. You know, our main hat symbol has a crawdad peeking out from behind a hickory H. And we just did a major rehaul of all of our logos and designs this past offseason. So we have a whole new slate of those now that are coming out. And that's what you're trying to do, is kind of capture that unique niche of minor league baseball.
Yeah, I think you just, like, I just was looking through your Twitter, like, you just released, like, a new design logo and stuff like that. You know, how do you commission somebody for that? Or, like, what's the thought process on that? Do you have, like, somebody that's a go-to guy as far as art like that?
We had had the same logo since 1993, so it was time for a freshen up.
Okay,
but we didn't want to get away from it. You know, we weren't going to change names by any means. And the H logo that we've always had some historical weight to it, but we needed a new coat of paint, so to speak. So we partnered with, it's called Scott Studios, and they're one of a couple of rebranding agencies that a lot of minor league teams use. And they did a great job. It was definitely a little more of a process than we thought it was going to be. We got into this midway through last year, and it took well over a year of going back and forth through designs. Obviously, not just myself, a lot of members of our front office with the studio, and essentially wanted to keep the main theme, crawdads, and some of our logos that already existed, but adding more to our toolbox is kind of the phrase that we came up with. And we also introduced a new color that helps us kind of freshen things up more. So traditionally, we've been black and red. We've added, we call it crawdad blue, kind of a creek water blue color, and then just expanded upon our logos a little bit more. So we have, even the H logo has been freshened up a little bit, so it looks nicer. Now we've got a logo that a lot of people like, where it is the state of North Carolina, and then our crawdad claw is holding onto a star right where Hickory is. We've got one where our mascot, Conrad the Crawdad, is holding two bats behind his back. You know, those kinds of things. So it gives us more logos to kind of use. They look sharper, a little more 21st century style and things like that. So we've had extremely positive feedback from that. And we're really excited to introduce them this year on the field. We'll have all new jerseys and hats and things like that. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, and financially, that's got to be, you know, what you're looking for, too. Because that's how you're going to want. Like where? How does that money get used for the ballpark as far as merchandise and money to bring? Like, how does that go back into the club and everything?
You're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you do have to make sure you're not in the red.
Exactly.
So obviously, our hope, too, is that fans will really like these logos, which early results have shown that they have. And, you know, in that, you know, you buy merchandise or things like that. And I guess, in general, a drum up of interest. So our team store will be chock full of all new hats and T-shirts and shorts and anything you could possibly think of. We'll have all new brand new stuff out there. And then, like I said, new jerseys and hats for people to look at and buy. And it just offers like I said, we are minor leagues, but you want to present yourself in as professional of a manner as possible. So these gives us very sharp logos to redress our website and our social media and things like that. And so, yes, it does cost us money to rebrand and things like that. But, you know, over the course of X amount of years, we feel like it'll be a positive investment in our brand moving forward.
Yeah, and you get your team. And how often do you cycle in like new designs and stuff like that as far as through the year? Do you have like, okay, these are designs we're gonna run with it for the entire year, or like, okay, we're gonna release this here and then halfway through the year we're gonna release another T-shirt?
You can essentially do it however you want. We put all of our new logos out there during the redesign, but we are kind of releasing them in stages as far as how we use them. You're very much
because
right.
Because you get somebody that comes to the ballpark at like first couple games of the season, and then they come back, you know, the second half of the season, you know, like they're not gonna buy a shirt again if
right.
they've already seen it.
So. Right. So we'll have new shirts that will kind of be staggered out, or new designs, or we might, we really got essentially a half dozen plus new logos. So we might kind of focus on one or two here, and then push the others later in the year or in subsequent years. And again, that goes back to the kind of the toolbox phrase that we said. It just gives us options and some variety to use.
Yeah, and. Just speaking, like as far as minor league, it seemed like about like the it was like the mid '90s, whatever. Like team names got crazier and yeah. crazier, and then like it started to span out and stuff like that. Like, what's one of the craziest like minor league names you've ever seen?
Oh, like it, I already mentioned the Biscuits. That is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It is quite literally a biscuit with eyes, and its tongue is a pat of butter. You gotta love that. But you get all kinds of weird. You already mentioned there's the Lumber Kings.
Yeah.
Or there's the. You get some of them. There's the Seahorses, I think, is one of them now.
I've seen the Mudhens.
Mudhens, yes,
was a big one.
Chihuahuas just came up in El Paso last year. So there's all kinds of crazy names. The Portland Sea Dogs is an otter looking thing. You get even when the name itself might sound fairly normal, Marauders or Bandits. Fun logos that you maybe couldn't get away with in the minor league or in the major leagues rather, because they're a little more, cartoony is the way to describe it. But that's the culture in minor league baseball, because it's not just about baseball. We say that we're in the entertainment business more than baseball. People are coming here not just to watch baseball, or sometimes not even to watch baseball. It's about all the other things we do, the in between inning entertainment or the giveaways. And so you get a lot more of a casual fan than you would get at a major league stadium, and that's the people that we have to cater to.
Yeah, and even when you bring up entertainment and different things that you do here, part of the reason that I know that you guys exist is because last summer I was a part of the wrestling event that you had on the Baseball Diamond.
Yes.
So that's I wrestled on that show, and I was here, brought the ring and stuff like
no
that.
No kidding.
Yes. So that's part of the reason why I know you guys would exist. And I know that's like a big thing now is a lot of minor league baseball parks. So like, okay, either when the season's over or between games and stuff like that, the whole mm-hmm. wrestling events and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Are there any other like events that pop in your guys' mind that you use this ballpark for other than just baseball?
Yeah, and that's, trying to get the bills paid and things like that. You try to make as much use of the stadium as you can aside from just baseball. So like you said, wrestling is a big one now.
A lot of people are doing that, right?
Yes.
Like last summer, it was insane. It felt like every week there was a minor league baseball park had wrestling in it. Mm-hmm. And there was multiple different wrestling companies doing it across the country.
And our fans like it. If we draw well, then there's no reason to not keep doing it. Concerts have been bigger and bigger. We have a Christian
concert, like you, the stage out in the field.
Absolutely, okay. We'll set it up right around where second base is.
Okay,
and we have this has really picked up steam lately. We are a fairly evangelical area, so we have a pair of Christian concerts that actually happen during the season.
Okay.
So we'll have the game that happens. We'll push it up a little earlier in the day. Then after that, we have a Christian concert. But we also do country music is obviously very big in this part of the country. So we'll have last October we had a pair of country concerts that were actually after our season ended. But we still obviously utilize the ballpark for that. So concerts are a big one as well. And we're always looking for something different. We were on the road this past 4th of July. Obviously, we can't be home every 4th. Mm-hmm. So we were on the road and we had a lumberjack company come out here where they did. You might remember back in the day on ESPN2, that was a big thing where they had these lumberjack competitions. It was very similar to that where they had speed sawing and they'd climb up the logs or they'd roll them on. They had a big temporary pool set up out there where they'd do the log spins. And so, pretty much anything you can think of, if we think we can draw a crowd for it, we'll do it.
Yeah, and you're going to get the concessions for that.
Correct.
And then you team shop open too,
yeah.
So you're going to have all those things. But the question about all those events is, how much does the groundskeeper enjoy this?
Yeah, how much does he not enjoy this? We try to time it up so he's got time, if it's during the season, to get his field back into shape. So let's say the team... we leave town on a Thursday. and we'll be gone for a week. We try to have that event on a Friday and Saturday. That way he's still got a handful of days to try to breathe a little life back into the field. We are very fortunate. Zach Van Voorhees is the name of our head groundskeeper, and he has some help as well. But he does just a killer job of keeping the field looking nice and fresh throughout the season, because you never know what you're going to get. You know, we've had very wet summers where it makes his job a little bit easier as far as hydrating the field. We've had very dry summers where...
Yeah, because since I've been in Charlotte in the last 10 years, there's been a major drought, mm-hmm. and then it was very rainy and stuff like that, very green and plush. So, like, there's been a lot of big discrepancies just in the last 10 years in the climate.
And each one has its own, you know,
and
pros
you're closer
and cons.
To the mountains as well. So correct. You've got to deal with that. So things get a little bit colder, so you got to contend with that.
Correct. So he does a great job, and, you know, he'll do all the little details too, you know, spray painting custom logos and things on there. And like I said, last year we were in the playoffs. He did such a good job of making it feel like a big league atmosphere, where you had the playoff logos down the lines, you know, the two teams playing logos along with our major league affiliates, kind of just to give it that extra special feel. So we were very lucky to have him here and make our field look as nice as it does.
Yeah, because I remember when we brought the ring in, I think we just supply wood out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, I know how to about this, because I've done ballparks before that, like, it rained during the show. Mm-hmm. But there's one ballpark in Mid-Hudson, Fishkill, New York.
Okay.
I forget. It's a Tampa Bay affiliate. I forget what their name was. It's the Dutch, whatever. It was a ballpark. And the first year we did it, it was torrential downpour, and the entire field was mud. And we had to load the ring and on the truck in mud. It was horrendous and a mess. And then, like, when we stopped doing the ring rental for it, that's when they got all AstroTurf.
I'm sure.
And then they didn't care. They were just like, oh, do whatever you want. Yeah. And I was like... But it was like, why did they just turn this over? It's like, oh, because their ball club, at the major level, they want it to be exactly like that at the minors and stuff like that. And is there any examples of that where the Rangers, like, we want this to be done a certain way because this is how we do it in the majors?
Yeah, very much so. And that's where we talk with the Rangers, is more on the facility side of things. And so just this last year, we did a bunch of renovations to some of the player facilities. We built a brand new batting cage, which is very nice for this level because it's a full double batting cage that's underneath the roof, so you can do it rain or shine. Mm-hmm. And that was, Rangers wanted that. A brand new, very big weight room for the players, as that's becoming more and more of something that they're concentrating on.
Always looking for an edge.
Correct. And a new kitchen facility for them, too. We have a very good clubhouse attendant, Mitch Brasher, who does a good job of nutrition is very big now, too. So making sure proper meals are made and that these guys have access to good food throughout the year. So that was
something... They just can't be sipping on sweet tea and having...
Correct. You know, pizza and
cornbread and... hush puppies. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay in moderation, obviously. But, yeah, they want them eating well. And so that was something that the Rangers came to us with. And that they split the cost with us on that between us and the city of Hickory, because this is a city-owned ballpark.
Oh, okay, so that's it's correct. Split up over. It's not like,
and the Rangers,
here's a bill.
In. Yes.
Make this happen.
And so they are very good. We have a great relationship with them. We signed, before last season, a new 4-year player development agreement with them, which is, that's how that works. It goes in 2 or 4-year deals. And so by the time that is done after the 2018 season, we'll be with them for 10 years, and we would love to obviously keep it going. We have a great relationship with them. So it is by no means them coming in and, you know, pounding their fist and saying, we need this done. They're very good about, you know, the give and take. They understand how minor league economics work. You know, major league teams, it's great for the game as a whole, are making great money right now. Fan attendance is through the roof, and our attendance in the minor league level is through the roof. But it's obviously, we do not make the same money they do. So they're very understanding about how that works and about needing to chip in when it comes to player facilities.
Well, how is attendance here? Like, what's your average attendance, you know, especially last season?
We average just a little bit over 2,000 fans a game. And that takes into account, you know, a weekday where you might not have a ton, but then you have a Friday night with fireworks where we're packed. Our capacity is right around 4,000.
Okay.
So we'll be pushing that number. Last year, we drew right at 150,000 people. Our attendance has been on the rise the last 5 years, I believe it is, has been going up. So we're trending in a good direction. Like I said, we are small, even for A-ball. We're one of the bottom 2 or so markets. So we are in the same league as, you know, like a Greensboro, North Carolina. much larger, they're going to draw a little bit more than we do. Or our league goes as far north as Lakewood, New Jersey. That's a very long bus ride. But they have
was everybody on a bus?
Oh, we're all on a bus. It's about 11 hours up there. So you try to sleep as much as you can.
Yes.
But they have a beautiful, huge ballpark that really would probably fit in at the AA level. And they draw very big numbers. So really, it's not... We don't compare ourselves to them. You have to compare yourselves really to market size. And we've been, our fans have been fantastic. Like I said, positive trending the last handful of years now. And that coincides with things like winning teams. And the ballpark itself got a major $2.5 million renovation just a couple of years ago. That was between the team and the city split that bill. So, I mean, that helps obviously draw fans as well.
Yeah, and obviously taking consideration of promotion as well is very important. Like, yes, this is a big park and people know it exists, but how do you get people to the ballpark? Especially when you're always there and there's a lot of games and people can pick and choose and whatever. But how is it that you get people to the ballpark?
Like we mentioned before, a lot of people do not come here for baseball. They're coming here because, and this is how we try to market ourselves, is as a family-friendly place to come. You can come here... And nowadays, my GM and I were just talking about this before, Mark Seaman, where you almost, how society is now, you have to be very cautious letting your kids out of your eyesight. And unfortunately, that's just how it is today. But our fans feel comfortable. They get in the park and their kids go wild. You know, we have a playground area where they can go hang out, or inflatable bounce houses and things like that. And we pride ourselves on where you can feel comfortable with your kids. So first and foremost, that's what we try to do, is make it a family-friendly atmosphere where you feel like you can, A, afford to come out here, and B, there's things to keep you and your family entertained. Mm-hmm. And then aside from that, you know, like we said, in between innings, we have different contests and goofy races where fans are down in the field, or we bring in specialty acts, things, the Superstars, if you've ever been to a minor league game, that's a very big name where they have giant inflatable suits that they wear and do different things in between innings. So it's all the other things, typically, which is why people come out. Or like you said, giveaways, you know, whether it be t-shirts or bobbleheads or, you know, replica, whatever it might be. Those are what draws fans out more than just the baseball game. We're almost, you know, come out for this stuff. And, oh, yeah, there's a baseball game on the side kind of a deal.
Absolutely. What are some of your better promotions, you would say, at least for your club?
Anything that people can wear is always big. So if you've got a t-shirt, which obviously this year we are doing everything championship that you could possibly think of.
Of course.
You know, so t-shirts or rings or bobbleheads always do very well. So if there is something that you can wear, we'll have fans lined up outside the gates before they open up. And typically we do it the first, you know, 1,000 fans, and they will go within the first 15 minutes of gates opening. So we always tell people, you know, for a 7 o'clock game, gates open at 6, be here. You know, when gates open, you're not going to get one. So those are typically the best ones. Fireworks always do very well here. Once we get into the summer months, we have Firework Fridays. Every Friday home game, there's a fireworks show. And we have a very good show. Obviously, I'm going to be a little bit biased, but I'm lucky enough that I can travel. I go to all the other ballparks with the team, and ours are... one of the best in the league. We have a very good show, long show, lots of good stuff. So our fans love the fireworks shows too. So Fridays are always packed. So it's extra stuff like that fans tend to turn out for.
Okay, you said you travel around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you've seen other people and how they promote and stuff like that. And you've probably taken here what's good and what's bad. What's one of the crazier minor league ballpark promotions you've seen in your time, just being around it and looking at it?
You know, that's an excellent question. The Rome Braves, obviously the Atlanta Braves single-A affiliate in our league, they have a Bob Marley night, I think is what it is, and it is huge. The players wear Bob Marley-themed jerseys that are essentially Hawaii shirts, Hawaiian-themed shirts that also, of course, have Braves and things on them, and they pack the park for that night. They auction those off after the game. People, they have a steel drum band that is there. And so really it's, you try to do the ones that do the best is when it's as fully fledged out as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're going to do let's say a Jurassic Park night, we did kind of a dinosaur night. You get somebody who dresses up as dinosaurs. You put it up on the video board and the music.
That creepy looking.
Yeah, yes.
That dinosaur suit. It looks a little too realistic on camera.
Yeah. Some kids get scared from that. And, you know, you decorate the ballpark. So as fully fledged out as you can make this, those are the ones that do the best. all of a sudden now 90s themed things are getting popular just because.
Which makes us feel old.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're out of the 80s now and we're into the 90s.
As a fellow 30-year-old man, yes, that makes you feel old.
So, you know, Saved by the Bell is huge. So anything Saved by the Bell related is getting big all of a sudden. Go figure.
It's such a niche show. That...
I'll tell you, Mr. Belding is a hot ticket.
He's a very good, like, he knows how to do it.
He does a lot of emotion stuff.
He does even does some wrestling stuff, too. Mm-hmm. He does the full rounds of everything.
We had Screech here just a couple of years ago, and fans turned out for that. So it's the screwiest things now. So it's 90s all of a sudden is a big one. So you always try to have kind of your ear to the ground as to what is drawing. And you mentioned it. If another team is doing it, it's doing well. That's how minor league baseball works. Everyone's always stealing from each other, and then you try to make it your own a little bit.
Of course, that's how it works. Figure out what didn't work and stay away from that as much as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But you know, a lot of times when I do these interviews, as we get kind of close to the end here and stuff like that, I always talk to people about, like, you know, successes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And mostly because I'm talking to, like, artists and other people, the individual thing, but we're talking about a team here. But you could probably answer just as well as anybody else. I always ask people, like, about success. As far as you in this job, how do you see that you've done your job and you've been successful at it?
For me personally, in my job, like we mentioned earlier, I run a lot of social media, and that, you know, more so, you know, if I send out a press release or whatever, or the website looks good, you don't get direct feedback on that, but you do with social media. That's the advantage of it, and that's why any sports team is so on that right now. It's because it's a direct line between you and your fan base. And more our fans have been buying into that. Our social media, you know, percentages have doubled or more in just my few years of being here. And now some of that I'd like to think is part of me, and some of it was inevitable. But you do get direct feedback on that. So when I get feedback from fans who find, you know, a tweet you send out is funny, or they love the interview that we posted from a certain player that goes out on Facebook, that's when you feel like you're doing your job well. And for me also, I tend to be the liaison between the fans and the players, or even our front office and the players, because I'm with them so much. Mm-hmm. And fans want to know about these players more than just their stats. You know, they want to know where they're from, their family, and things like that. And so when we can get that stuff out there and the fans respond to it as well as they do, that makes me happy. And the players like that too, when they can get a personal connection with the fan base. So when I see that's going well, that's when I know my job's going all right.
Is that how it is? You're like, okay, we got more people in the ballpark, we got more social media awareness. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you're looking for, and be like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I did that. I think I did a good job.
Yes, and also, you know, as I mentioned, I broadcast the games, and a decent chunk of our listenership are these players' families and friends from wherever they might be, you know, from Texas or from, you know, we get a lot of foreign players, as I mentioned. So we actually have a surprising amount of listeners that are still in the Dominican Republic, and they'll listen in. And I will get a fair amount of emails, or actually handwritten mail or things like that, from family members who say, you know, they're just happy that they can follow along and listen into their son or whatever it might be still playing. And so that obviously makes me feel happy as well, that my broadcast is at least listenable to enough that they listen in and they get to hear their son or nephew or friend or whatever it is continue to do this. So I take a lot of joy from that as well.
What's the most positive interaction you've ever had with either a player's parent or a fan or a correspondence that you're like, man, that was really cool?
The last couple of years, for whatever reason, we've had a lot of family travel here to watch their kids. Last year, for instance, we had a player from Hawaii. His name was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, a very talented shortstop. He ended up getting promoted, so he was not with us the whole year. But his grandparents actually came in town all the way from Hawaii, and they would tweet at us or email us like, oh, we're listening to the game from the beach in Hawaii. And you're like, ah, you know, I'm stuck in this ballpark.
Exactly.
But they came in and could not have been nicer people. And they actually brought me these Hawaiian chocolates just to say thank you, which was exceedingly nice. Just very nice people. And that's just one. Josh Morgan, an all-star player for ours, his parents come in town, and I love it when they come up to the booth in between innings or whatever just to say hey. Very nice. Luke Tindler, an all-star outfielder for us, his dad actually lived fairly close to where we play in New Jersey. So every time we went into New Jersey, he was there. And then when we got in the playoffs, him and his uncle drove all the way down here just to watch him play. in the postseason. He had a great postseason, so that was great. And so just getting to see those parents and they get to watch them, get to watch their son play or whatever. And they're always just very nice to me. So anytime I get to talk to them, I take a lot of pleasure from that. So I've never met a parent yet who has not been fun to deal with. So I'm sure I've left out many of a parent out there. But if you ever come visit, I love to hear from you guys.
Okay. And it's funny that you said you're the play-by-play guy, you're the one doing the broadcast. You're essentially the guy that's talking about their son. And they're probably going to hear your voice more than their son's voice, mostly because it's probably longer of a broadcast than probably the phone conversations they're going to have with their kids.
Yes.
So you're basically the direct line to them. So.
And I have to remember that. I remember when I first got started, that had not quite clicked with me yet. In fact, I was very hard on an umpire. I was young and was...
Did you have any experience?
A little bit from college, and I had done some stuff with collegiate summer league ball and things like that. But, you know, professional baseball at whatever level is a whole new story. Yeah. And so I was a little bit hard on an umpire. I was overly hard. And I got an email the very next day. The umpire's mom was listening in. Of all things, you wouldn't think an umpire's parents would, but, you know, that's their kid, and they're trying to make their dreams come true as well. So they wrote in. And they were not rude by any means, but just let me know, like, hey, you know, we're listening in too. Just think about that next time. And that has been, you know, 5 years or whatever now. And I still remember that. Even the umpire's parents are listening in. And so I remember that. I try to be as fair as possible. This is just how
umpires
broadcast.
Are still pay people to.
Absolutely. I try to do as unbiased as a broadcast as I can. Just my personal style. I try not to be a homer, even though I'm obviously representing the Crawdads. Because I think that if I give an unbiased opinion or a neutral opinion, that then they can then trust when I say that something is truly good or bad, because I'm not always just, you know, blowing glitter up in the air and making everything seem perfect. And so I try to do that, but you also have to be careful because these are kids, essentially, and they do have parents listening. And so you'd never try to burn somebody too much, regardless of what's happening out there. And really the only time where I will truly get negative on somebody is an effort issue. If somebody just really doesn't care, like they look like they care out there or whatever like that, that's one thing where you might point that out. But you know what? Guys are going to have bad nights. Baseball, more than any other sport, is a sport of failure, where if you succeed 3 times out of 10, you're going to the Hall of Fame. But that means you failed 7 times out of 10. So you have to take everything in that light. And so if guys are trying, you're going to go through terrible slumps here, you know, where you're 0 for 20-something or 30-something, or a pitcher gets shelled. He doesn't even last an inning. But you know what? That happens. It's not a lack of effort. We see these guys out here every day. They show up and they work out. They put in the work. And you know what? That's all you can ask for these guys, is that they put in the work. And if you're doing that, I have no room to criticize you.
Absolutely. But you enjoy it now? Or you feel like you're pretty good at the broadcast?
I would like to think I do a good job. Yes, I am. Anybody who works in minor league baseball, all of my coworkers, regardless of what we do, promotions or group sales or whether you're the general manager, whatever it is a labor of love. You are not in this to get rich. You're in this because you absolutely love baseball. You love minor league baseball and interacting with the fans. And I absolutely love what I do. I love, you know, I'm in it to move up as well. You know, I'd love to get up where these players are in the big leagues one day. But I could not have asked for a better stop here in Hickory. The front office has been great. The fans have been great. The Rangers as an organization have been wonderful to deal with. So even on my worst day, I'm coming to work at a ballpark, and you know what? I've had worse jobs. There's a lot of worse places to show up every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Aaron, as we wrap it up, can you please let everybody know how they can get up with Hickory Crawdads social media wise?
Yeah.
Pay attention, listen to the games, everything. Just spew it out there in your best professional spiel, wherever
right.
they can get in touch with.
I hope you do listen in. Obviously, our website is very straightforward, hickorycrawdads.com, and from there you can find any information that you want to, whether you buy tickets, check our promotional calendar, whatever, and you can listen live straight from that as well. Just from there'll be a multimedia link on the top. You can listen live from your computer. Like I said, anywhere in the world, I hope you do listen live. Our season starts on April 7th. We'll be on the road in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and then we have our home opener on April 14th, where we'll be playing that very same Kannapolis team, but here at home. So it's going to be a very fun season. Our promotional calendar is coming out in the next couple of days, so look out for that. Find some fun days and And bring your family out to the ballpark. Like I said, we try to keep it very affordable. So there's always ways, even if our base ticket you might feel is too expensive, you can always find a way to get that down in some way through a discount through somebody. And we hope to see you out here and let us know, how you feel. You know, our social media is always Hickory Crawdads related in some way. At Hickory Crawdads is our Twitter, also our Instagram, Facebook. Like I said, we're on Snapchat now, so if that's your cup of tea, we love hearing from you. Let us know good and bad so we can get that fixed. And like I said, if you're listening in to the broadcast too, which I hope you do, let me know you're listening in also.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you very much for taking time out of your day. I appreciate your being able to sit down. And like I said, you're busy right now, so I'm glad we got this in before you got super busy and everything else. So thank you very much for taking time out of your
day. I thank you for looking at us. Like I said, I'm a recent convert to your podcast. Really, you reached out to us, and I said, well, what is this podcast? And since, I think I've watched almost every one that you've put together. So,
get out of here.
No, I kid you not. It started off, I had to do research on my end, but you do a very good job. So I'm a fan now of your podcast. So I appreciate you finding us. I'm flattered that you found us and took interest in our team. So good luck the rest of the way with you as well.
Oh, thank you. I just wandered in with the rest of my time.
It's funny how that works out.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been a DSCT.TV production.